Last week we started a new series that we call This or That, and what we're doing is looking at the choices that we make, and the reason we want to do that is because essentially we are a result of the choices that we make, correct? Whatever choices we have made in our past determines who we are today and what we're doing today, and really the choices that we make in the future are going to determine what we become. And so we're focusing on these choices that we make in our lives, and we're going to do four of them. Last week, Kendall talked about purpose or popularity. Next week, we're going to talk about choosing discipline or regret, and then we'll wrap up with important or urgent. And today what I want to do is I want to talk about this big choice that I believe every single one of us need to make in our lives, and I think all of us struggle with this, and it's the choice that I just sang about. It's the choice that I was struggling with when I was a 22-year-old young man. I was man by definition, but I was still a child, and some of you would say, well, that still hasn't changed a whole lot, but the case is this. I was playing this game of Christianity, and I hadn't really surrendered everything to Jesus. There were a lot of things that I was trying to control on my own, and I think a lot of you have probably been there in your life as well. You've tried to control things that you should be surrendering to Jesus, and so today what I want to do is this. I want to encourage you to choose surrender over control. I want you to choose this. I want you to choose surrender over that control. Now, how many of you would say that in some area of your life, you love to be in control? Don't be afraid. Raise your hand. How many of you are control freaks? Be honest. It's like a support group here today, all right? And all of us battle with some type of control issue in some area of our life. Some of you are kind of like this. Maybe you're at work. Maybe it's this way at home. You know, do it in my way. Do it in my time. Do it right, or I'm going to do it myself. There's some of us that are like that. Some of you maybe work for that person. Maybe some of you are that person. Some of you in your homes are maybe a little bit of a control freak. Anybody in their house, everything has to be in a certain place, and it has to be done a certain way, and it's like, don't touch that. If you touch that, I'm going to see that you touch that when I wake up in the morning, and then there's going to be problems, you know? Years ago, I was fresh out of college. I was in my first ministry in Stringtown, Kentucky. I was counseling a couple, and they were struggling with this, okay? The wife insisted. Instead of being thankful that the husband ran the vacuum every once in a while, she insisted that when the vacuum be run, that all of the lines go in the same direction. Okay? They have to be that way. Husband didn't think so, right? But then when it came to mowing the grass, the husband was like, well, it has to be done this way. The lines have to be this way, and then he looked at me and said, what do you think, preacher? Remember, I'm 23 at the time, you know, and I wanted to say, vacuum, not so much. Mowing the grass, I get that, you know, but I did not say that. I didn't want to choose sides. But the point is this, we've all got our areas. We've all got our areas of control. Maybe it's as a parent. Maybe you just want your kids to do exactly what you want them to do. Maybe if you have little kids, you've said this, I'm going to ground you until you're 30 because you know that they're going to make some silly choices along. Anybody ever had that? I mean, you didn't do it, but you wanted to do that at times. Maybe it's with your spouse. If you don't do this the way that I want it done, then I'm going to withhold something from you. I'm going to threaten you with whatever it is. We take some kind of control in this area. How many of you struggle, be honest here, with riding shotgun? All right? You ever stomped on the imaginary brake? Any of you, you know, you're sitting in the passenger side of the car and someone else is driving and we don't like the way that they're driving. We don't think they're stopping soon enough. And so we stomp on that imaginary brake. How many of you in your house are like this? No one else can do the remote control, you know? Because everybody knows it's not about what's on at the moment. It's all about what else might be on. Can I get a witness this morning? All right, there's some of us who are like that. It's just a thing. And we think, okay, these aren't a real big deal. And they're really not all that big of a deal, but I think it addresses a bigger issue. We make fun of some of these other things, but I think we do this same thing with God sometimes, where we think, you know what, we have to be in control of the situation. We try to control situations that aren't ours to control. And when we do that, it is a reflection of what could be a bigger problem, because in essence, what we're saying is, I want to be in control, God, because I don't think you're doing a very good job of it. We would never come right out and say that, but by our actions and some of the choices that we make and some of the things that we do, that is in essence what we are saying. And when we do that, we are trying to be like God. We're saying, I know what's best. I know the situation. So let's look at what I think is one of the most difficult verses to follow, but it's also one of the most quoted, and it's something that we need to follow. And I'm like I said, it's not easy to do. And I want to encourage you, even if you've heard this passage of Scripture 1,000 times, I want you to do your best to hear it with fresh ears this morning. Hear it as if it's the first time that you've ever heard this passage of Scripture. And maybe you would just ask God right now to help you to truly live out these powerful truths. Here they are, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. Trust in the Lord. Surrender to God. Allow yourself and your life and your situation and your family to be completely in His hands. When we look at that passage of Scripture, how much of our hearts are we supposed to trust the Lord with? Trust in the Lord with how much? All your heart. And then we're told, and this is where it gets difficult sometimes, at least it does for me, to lean not on your own understanding. I don't know about you, but that one's hard for me, because here's what I want to do, and maybe it's because I'm a guy, maybe some ladies struggle with this as well, but we want to try to figure it out, don't we? We guys want to figure it out, we want to fix it, we want to be in control of the situation, because that's just the way we are sometimes. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, and Scripture says, in all your ways, submit to Him. Not just some of your ways, all of your ways. I surrender all, not some. And the Hebrew word here is translated submit. It's also acknowledge. It's not just submit, but it's also acknowledge that He is in control of your life. The word actually means to know, understand, and know that He's the one that's in control of your life. It's the same word that was used in the book of Genesis talking about Adam and Eve. It means an intimate knowing that we are to trust the Lord with every single bit of our hearts. In other words, we're not going to be anxious about anything because we're trusting God. We are going to submit everything to Him. We're going to acknowledge that He is the ultimate sovereign God who's in control of everything. And we need to acknowledge Him in that way. We submit to Him. And here's the cool part. God says when we do that, He makes our paths straight. How many of you have ever felt like you've gone down this winding road in your life and nothing ever seems to work out the way that you want it to? Well, are you partially to blame for that? I have been. Those times when I haven't acknowledged Him as the sovereign Lord of my life, those times when I haven't said, Lord, I'm going to trust You with all my heart. I'm going to acknowledge You as the Savior of my life. He says, when you do that, He will make your path straight. So our job is to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts, lean not on our own understanding. In other words, even if it doesn't make sense, you acknowledge Him as the Lord of your life. Submit, no, He'll make your paths straight. Here's the problem, and many of you see this in your own life, I'm sure. The more we try to control, now I'm going to be preaching to somebody here this morning when I say this. Well, if nobody else, it's me. The more we try to control, the more we're afraid of losing control. And the more afraid we are of losing control, the more we try to control. Do you see that to be true in your life? Let me say that again. The more we try to control, the more we are afraid of losing control. And the more afraid we are of losing control, the more we try to control. It becomes this vicious cycle, and God is saying, listen, let that go. Trust me with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding, and I'm going to work it out for you. I'm going to make your paths straight. But we get caught up in this cycle, and it leads to fear. And essentially, when we get caught up in this cycle of trying to control and afraid of losing control, we ultimately are edging God out of our lives. And edging God out is an acronym for ego. Don't forget that. When we edge God out and we think we know the best and we think that we are the ones who can do a better job of controlling the situation than God can, that is a dangerous, prideful game to play. You might remember from the Old Testament this story I want to share with you of control gone bad. Now, there's several examples in this couple's life. One time, Abram at the time, lied and said that Sarah was his sister and not his wife. No, and there's other instances as well. But here's one of them. God made Abraham an amazing promise, said you're going to be the father of many nations. And then for quite some time, nothing happened. You told us we're going to be parents. And then month after month after month, nothing happens. And Sarah did what many of us do. When God's timing wasn't cutting it, she decided to take control of the situation in her own way. And this is a perfect example of control gone bad. So what does she do? A lot of you know the story. Genesis 16. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave." Now what does she do here? She's taking control of the situation. God, I know you told us one thing, but you're not doing it in my timing. You're not doing it the way that I wanted to do, so I'm going to take control of the situation. She says, perhaps I can build a family through her. And she was right. She did. Abraham goes and sleeps with her. Because they both come to the conclusion, this isn't all on Sarah. It wasn't like Abraham wasn't a willing participant, okay? God's not doing what he said, so I'm going to take control, and we know what happens. She conceives, and that they didn't trust God. They didn't trust God with his promise. God's timing was not consistent with their timing, and so they took control, and then the situation went bad. And if you don't know what happened next, all kinds of trouble, and even, you know, it's mind-boggling to this day to see how this one situation of trying to control what God wants for someone's life is bringing calamity for centuries to come. Hagar gives birth to a son. They called him Ishmael. Sarah later conceives, and she has a child, and we know that they named him Isaac. If you look at the lineage of Ishmael and Isaac, it's absolutely stunning. Out of Ishmael, you actually have the Palestinians. Out of Ishmael, you actually have the prophet Muhammad. Out of Isaac, you have the Jewish nation. You also have Jesus. And here we are centuries later, and you still have this tension between Palestinians and Jews, and you still have this tension over, well, do I follow Muhammad or do I follow Jesus? Why? It took matters into their own hands. They wanted to control the situation. Now, most of us are never going to be forced with that big of a situation, I don't think. But we cannot fall into this idea of, well, I'm going to do whatever it is that I need to do to bring about the outcome that I want. And this is a massive massive spiritual lesson for us to learn. And I want you to write this down. If you don't remember anything else, please remember this. Never, ever forget. Don't ever forget this. If you ever run into a gal named Hagar, just run away. Okay? Don't even ask her out for dinner. Just run away, go the other way. No, in all seriousness, here's the deal. Chances are you're never going to be tempted in the way that Abraham was. You're never going to have to deal with a situation like he was. But here's the deal. You're going to be tempted with something. I don't know what it is. I don't know maybe who it is. But you're going to be tempted to take control of a situation when something doesn't go your way. What are you going to do? Maybe you're a single Christian girl and you want a single Christian guy. But you can't find a single Christian guy, so you'll just settle for a guy, right? I mean, I've seen this so many times. I know I'm not supposed to be unequally yoked, but oh, he's got such a cute smile. Yeah, he's so cute. I know what? I'll change him over time. How many of you have seen that happen? Not the changing part, because that don't happen. Settling for someone that's not your best and hoping that you can change. Maybe it's a financial issue. You're struggling. You've been around church for a while. You actually know that you're supposed to return a portion to the Lord. Put God first. Seek Him first. It's freeing when you do that. God blesses you. But it doesn't make any sense to you right now because you're looking at your bills, you're looking at what's coming in, and you say, I'm just gonna do it my way. You know, I think there's a little Frank Sinatra and all, a little Elvis, choose whichever version you want. You know, we wanna do it my way. It could be people at work, hey, I'm trying to delegate this to you, but you're not doing it right. So just move out of the way. I'm gonna do it myself because you're not doing it right. Or maybe this overprotective parent idea. Just smothering to our children. I read recently in an article, and this is absolutely amazing to me, of recent college graduates, 8% of college graduates bring one of their parents with them to a job interview. 8%. Just a little tip for anybody out there that's thinking about applying for the children's ministry position and you get an interview with us, leave your mom in the car. Now, I haven't talked to Kendall about this, but on the school side, do you agree with me? Leave your mom in the car, okay? Crack a window for her. It'll be all right. I know she drove you. That's cool, you know. But really, if you think about it, we have these areas that we try to control. And here's what I want you to do. Didn't put this in your bulletin, but there's probably some space there to write it down. I want you to think about one area of your life that you're trying to control. Think about that right now. Maybe it's a person, maybe it's a thing, maybe it's a circumstance. And what I want you to do is to think about it for just a moment. Give it a name, write it down. What are you trying to control right now in your life that's just driving you absolutely crazy? Is it your kids? You know, you're trying to control if you've got little ones, or maybe it's your grown kids, or maybe it's your kids' kids because they ain't raising your grandbabies right. You know, maybe it's your finances. You're trying to control your job, your future of your job. You're trying to control your spouse. Maybe it's your image. You're trying to control. What is it that you're trying to control? Write that down. And just to prove my point, some of you are sitting out there right now, I ain't doing what he told me to do. I'm in control of this situation. I ain't going to write this silly exercise. Just do it, please, okay? Write it down, because I'm not backing down. I'm just telling you, I am not backing down on this. And I want you to write this thing down and ask yourself, is this thing that I'm getting ready to write, is it really mine to control? Or is this something that I am to trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding, but in all my ways acknowledge Him and He will make my path straight? Am I going to choose surrender or control? There's so many different areas of my life that I try to control that I really want to surrender. And I just, man, it's hard. I know I'd be, here's the thing, I know I'd be better off to surrender it to the Lord, but I still try to control it. Anybody with me on that? So So I want to give you three questions here that'll help you answer when is the right time to choose surrender over control. So question number one is this. Is it worth my concern? In other words, there are many things that people get really upset about that's really not even, shouldn't be any concern of ours. You know? I'll give you an example just from my perspective as a preacher and as a leader in this church. I want to ask you a question. How many of you think that there are things at church here that I would like to see done differently? How many of you think that's a possibility? Sure there are, you know? But what do I do as a leader? Do I come in and just say, hey, you know what? We got to do it this way or I'm out of here. You know? Hey, I'm the preacher of this church and we need to do it this way or I'm really going to be upset. No. I need to be wise. Choose my battles carefully. I know Bob Russell always, he taught me to, he always asked this question, is that a hill you want to die on? You know? And, you know, if I come in like, you know, hey, this is bad and this is bad and we need to change this and we need to do this way and so on and so forth, and then it can be demoralizing. You know, it can really be a situation where I start focusing on the things that I'd really rather see done rather than focusing on all the really good things that are happening around here. I think all of us are guilty of that at times, aren't we? We start to focus on what I'd like to, oh, this, you know, we need to do this, do that, instead of focusing on the wonderful things that God is doing in our midst. Sometimes I have to have a tolerance for some things that are done a little bit differently than the way that I would like to see them done. And write this down if you want, because it's important. When you're building an organization, you know, you've got a choice, or whether it's a church or this is a business principle that I'd learned. You can have control or you can have growth, but you can't have both. You know, that's something that's taught in the business world, and I think that's true for us as well. You can have control of everything, or you can have growth. And sometimes you just have to let some things go that might be a little bit different than how you would prefer that they be done. The same is true in relationships. You can have control in the relationship, or you can have a more intimate, close relationship. You can have control or you can have intimacy, but I don't think you can have both. And the problem is sometimes we're getting so wigged out about things that really aren't that big of a deal that we're hurting our relationships that are a big deal. Anybody ever been there before? No? We have to ask ourselves, is it worth my concern? Is it really that big of a deal? And if you'll let me meddle for just a moment, I'm going to get up in your business for a little bit. If you tell me no, I'm going to do it anyway because I'm having fun today and you pay me to do this. Okay? So, is it really worth my concern getting freaked out, wigged out, making everybody miserable because somebody didn't fold the towels right? Okay? They're supposed to be folded like this, but you folded them like that, and I just can't deal with that, you know? Fold them like this, okay? Or fold them like this. This is how I fold them. Yeah, you know that's not true. This is how Kendall folds them, you know? The question really is this. Is it really that big of a deal? I mean, I have seen knockdown, drag-out fights with people in homes over the way towels are folded. Or whether there's lines in the carpet running the same way or not. 5 years from now, does it matter how the towels are folded? Another question, is it really going to matter? Does it matter that much if for one day your child walks out of the house looking like this? Does it really matter? Well, you know what? You didn't get that job. You didn't get into that college because in kindergarten, you walked out of the house looking like that. Is it really going to matter? You know? 5 years from now, you know, your child going to be living on the streets because of what he wore that particular day. Is it really that big of a deal if someone leaves something in your car? Maybe some trash. Oh, there's Cheerios in the back seat of my car. There's chicken nugget under the seat of my car. That's unacceptable. I mean, honestly, sometimes, and I'm here, sometimes we need to we need to chill out, you know, just relax. Don't elbow the person sitting next to you. Just look up forward. Let me do what I do here, okay? Here's the thing. And the things, and this is interesting to me, and I think it's true in a lot of cases. The things that absolutely drive us nuts, we're going to miss someday. Can I tell you, there were days when my mom drove me absolutely crazy. But I wish like crazy I could go back and let her drive me crazy. Is it really worth getting upset over? No. You're hurting your relationships. You're hurting your intimacy. You're driving your kids crazy. Second question we're going to ask is this. Is it mine to control? Is this something that I should do something about? Sometimes the answer is yes. If it is yours to control, you need to step forward and do it. Sometimes. How many of you know God won't do everything for you? You know, we say God helps them, those who help themselves. Now, that's not in the Bible, but there are times, I mean, a lot of people think that it is, but there are times when we just have to step up and do things. For example, if you're messed up financially, you just don't sit around and you say, okay, God, do your thing, work your magic. Sometimes God's going to say, you know what, I gave you two hands and two feet, go out and get a job. No. Here's an idea. This is God talking. Here's an idea. Why not spend less than you make? Get a second job if you need to. You know, do something about it. If your marriage is in trouble, what can you do? Well, examine yourself. Look at your heart. Go to counseling. If your child's making bad decisions, you want to be available to your child. You want to build that bridge. You want to be there for them. You want to do whatever it takes. You do whatever you can in those situations. If you're a single guy, you want to get married, what do? Quit playing Fortnite. Put it down. Move out of your mom's basement. Get a job. You know, God's not just going to automatically jump in and take over the situation for you. Sometimes there's things that you have to do if it's a situation that you can control. So first of all, is it worth my concern? That's the first question. The second is it mine to control? Three, is it for God alone? Is it one of those areas where, okay, I'm concerned about it, but I really can't do anything about it. I'm trying desperately to control this, but it's not mine to control. This is one that I have to surrender completely to God. In fact, I want to read from Philippians chapter 4. And these are the words that the Apostle Paul wrote while chained to a guard on house arrest. He's in prison, and he writes these amazingly powerful words. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Paul says, don't be anxious about anything. How many of you were anxious about something last week? How many of you have already been anxious about something today? In any situation, right? No matter what you're going through, no matter what she did, no matter what you can't change, in every situation, present your requests to God by prayer and petition, he says. Present your requests to God in every situation. Pray. Don't ever insult God by saying, well, I guess all we can do now is pray. Maybe you've said those words. I guess all we can do now is pray. Really? Can you imagine God just kind of sitting up there in heaven and you say, well, I guess all we can do now is pray. You think God's sitting there going, well, you're toast now, you know. If all you've got's me, it just comes down to me and you. Boy, we're in trouble. I like the sign that's on Neil Tyers across from the mall, where the mall used to be. Have you seen that sign? It said, is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? That's on that little garage, that tire place there across from the mall. Prayer should never be a last resort. Prayer says that we can go boldly before the throne of grace. We have access to God. He hears our prayers. He's a God that says, with me, all things are possible. What can you do? You can pray. It shouldn't be a last resort. It should be the very first thing that we do. And we go before God, Paul says, with thanksgiving. Why? Because we know he hears us and we know he cares. We know that he's working all things together to bring about good for those that love him, who are called according to his purpose. And what happens when we go to a God who loves us, when we go to God like that? He says, here's what happens, verse 7. The peace of God. Okay, this is a supernatural thing. It's a peace that the world doesn't understand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, this supernatural peace, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So when there's something that we can't control as badly as we would like to, we turn it over to God and say, God, I present this to you. I know that you have my best interest in mind. And I'm trusting you with all my heart, and I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. In this particular situation, God, in all my situations, I'm acknowledging you, I'm submitting to you, I'm praying that you do something about this. And what does he do? Has God ever failed you? No. Now, there's times when maybe some of you are going through a situation right now where you think, well, he hasn't answered yet or haven't heard from him yet, and you might think that he's failed you, but he hasn't. Have you ever had this situation? Someone come up to you or someone that you know and say, man, how are you doing so well? I know everything that you're going through. How in the world are you able to go through everything that you're going through and have this calmness about you, have this peace about you? I know you should feel bad, but you don't. Why? Because you're giving it to God. You are relinquishing control of the situation, and you are surrendering the situation to God. If you're married and your spouse is making bad decisions, you can ask yourself this question: can I change my spouse? Again, we already answered that question a little bit earlier. That's not going to happen. You know, now you can make your spouse miserable. You can make them crazy. You can drive them away. You can conform to their behavior for a little while until they start to resent you even doing that. But you can't change your spouse. But can God do that? Can God change your spouse? Absolutely. I trust you, God. This is yours alone. This is beyond my control. Can you physically heal your body or the body of someone you love? They got cancer. Can you go poof, they're free of cancer? You can't do that. What can you do? You can get chemo. You can get great doctors. You can eat right. You can do all of that stuff. But only God can heal. And you just have to say, God, I trust you. Can you control your kid's future? No, you can't. You can threaten them. You can drive them away. You can build a wall in your relationship with your kids where there's no trust. But you can't control it. Sometimes it just comes down to saying, God, I trust you. Can God be actively involved in their future? Absolutely. Can he lead them in the way they should go? Absolutely. What do? You do what you can. You invest in your children, and ultimately you say, God, I trust in you. And I'm not going to lean on my own understanding in this. I'm going to trust you. Can we control the election Tuesday? No. We can vote. We can do our homework. We can pray. And then we leave it in the hands of the Lord. When you're going through a situation, ask yourself, is it worth my concern? A lot of times it is. A lot of times it's not. If it's not worth your concern, let it fly. Just let it go. Is it mine to control? If it is yours to control, do something about it. But if it's something that you can't control, you need to surrender that to God. And here's something that you need to trust God completely for as well. And that's your salvation. If you're banking on eternity without God still getting you, well, let me be more specific. If you're banking on eternity without Jesus, and you're going to be okay, and you're still going to go to heaven because, well, just everybody goes, that situation is only in the hands of God. And by your decision to say, I believe that he's the Christ, the Son of the living God, and I repent of my sins, and I want to be baptized into him for the washing away of my sins. Have you done that? If you've already done that, then I'm going to ask you the same question that my preacher asked me 28 years ago. Have you really surrendered everything to him? If not, would you do that today? Let's stand.